You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would, to the book of Galatians and chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. Perhaps we could look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, thank you. Thank you very much. Spirit of God, honor our Lord, honor your word, all of which to honor you, our Heavenly Father. So we're looking to you with thanksgiving. God, thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. In Galatians, you will note, if I can, in the context, I'm going to start in verse 6. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. So, verse 6, they had turned away, backed away, looked away from the Lord Jesus Christ and to another gospel. The little word another has to do with another. I'm going to use the word to help you. Another animal, cat, mouse, another, cat, mouse. That's the word. Another, different, something other than what it was, is. Now, you go to the next statement in verse 7. Therefore, which is not a gospel which is not another. In verse 6, you have gone to the gospel which is not the gospel. There's only one gospel, Christ crucified, buried, and coming again according to the Scriptures. That's the gospel. You have gone to some other news, some other system, some other way, Judaism and all of that, icing, and all of those things. You've turned away. Verse 7, which is not another. That's it's spelt the same way. Another means one, two, the same. The first another, different. The second another, the same. Something is the same. It's not the same gospel. You have gone to a different gospel, which is not another, which is not the same. Now, that'll help us, because that's what they were up against. The enemy was doing all kinds of things to disrupt, to break away the heart from enjoying the wonderful simplicity that is found in Christ. Now, with that little bit of another, over to John and chapter 14. Now we share together, verse 14, going if I can, verse 4, remember now, Thomas, whither I go, said the Lord, you know, and the way you know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Now, we did all that, but just to get you, they're struggling to get the Lord Jesus Christ is going to go to the Father, and he's telling them, it's all right, you guys know the way, but they don't know. They can't do it. So therefore, he says, verse 6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So he makes it very clear, if they just look to him, trust him, they would have the whole thing in clarity. All they had to do was understand who he was, and they would have the whole picture, even though they didn't have the parts. They would have the painter. They would have the architect. They would have the one that makes it all work. Now, so therefore, Therefore, in the light of that, and their assignment then, verse 12, etc., is to be able to go, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall you do also, and greater works than these shall you do, because I go unto my Father. Now, in the light of that, and whatsoever you shall ask in my name, I will do it, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. And we shared all that, those wonderful things together. So we understand ask to have a desire of the will. That's all they wanted. God said, if you just want my will, whatever it is, you want my will. That's all. And if you do that in my name, on my behalf, so that you, it isn't about you then, you want to do it so that Jesus Christ, you want it, said the Lord. The Lord said, you want to do it so the Lord, I, the Lord, get all the glory. That's right. As if I did it. I'm gone, I'm crucified, risen, seated at the right hand of God. But you guys are there, girls are there, and you're able to go, and in my name, you're going to say, why are you doing what you do? I'm doing it in the name because of my unique personal relationship to Jesus Christ. I'm doing it in his name. It isn't about anybody. It's about you, God. That's right. More of the Son in the body. The body representing the head, as we shared 100 times. Now, so, and it's not the works of the flesh. No, can't be that. Galatians chapter 5, 19, 20, 21. It can't be the flesh. No, no. So it isn't about the flesh. No. What it's going to be is about you. It's going to be about you, not about the flesh. So here's our flesh, and it isn't about us. It isn't about me. It isn't about you. It isn't about you. Not about us at all. Nope. Nope. It's about you, God. That's right. Okay? You got that part? Good. Now, so God, and then we have to understand then, verse 15. If you love me, and we shared together, you may or may not. If you love me, keep my commandments, and we shared that all together so that we understand clearly, repeatedly, God says, "If how can you love me if you don't keep my word?" When you keep my word, you do love me. So if you don't keep my word, you don't love me. That's all. And you have to honor me. That's what. Because how are you going to honor me if you don't do what I told you to do? And in verse 14, the end of verse 14, I will do it. I will do what I'm telling you. I'm just told you, whatever you'd ask in my name, I'm going to do it. It's in my name, for my glory, for my honor, and I'm going to do it. So now, God, here you are. And so God the Father has made a wonderful, wonderful way to express himself in the person of God the Son. The person of God the Son has a unique personal assignment to be the deity in the humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ, born in Bethlehem of Judea. He has the unique assignment to represent the Father, God the Son, in the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, his perfect humanity. And the Spirit of God's wonderful, wonderful ministry is to go and honor the Lord Jesus Christ, who is honoring the Father, and it all goes, all comes out, one God, one essence, one nature, God. God's wonderful Father, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, God. All the same. Hang on to that. All the same. God, 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 God. That's right. Well, I need that. I need to understand that. So it isn't about the flesh. It's about you, God. That's correct. Now, in if I can, picking down to, well, before I do that, over, if you would, to the first chapter of John. Coming back here, but 1 John chapter 1, reminding us. First, the Gospel of John, chapter 1. And I may pick up, please, in thought. Remember now, the Lord Jesus Christ, his assignment in his perfect humanity is to represent God. Now, why in his perfect humanity? Because you, all humans, were created, Genesis 1, 26 and 27, in his image and likeness. All of us. God made us. He didn't make you like a, you could have been a smart whale or a porpoise. You could have been a kangaroo. You see, a marvelous spider. They all are designed, all by their lonesome, to have wonderful, wonderful, they're complete. They have a wonderful instinct. Almost would show that tonight instead of the other. Wow. Instinct. Wonderful instinct. They don't need anything. The little butterfly, I almost would do it. Here's the butterfly down there coming back from Mexico, lands in down there in Alabama, lands, dies. The little baby's born, and the little babies continue the journey all the way to Canada, whatever it is, without any map, without any instructions, instinct. All the animals are built with tremendous instinct. And when you read it and study it, we almost have to do it in order for you to be reminded of the marvelousness of God's creativity. Thousands of miles to build an exact spider web as his grandfather did. Exactly. And he never went to spider school. Do you understand? He never went to school. God made you not like them. God made you so that you don't have instinct. You have God. You are made in the image and likeness of God, for God to be God in you. God is your instinct. That's how he made you. That's why he made you. You are special, special, special. Critters, creatures, there's no one like you. So when you look in the mirror and say, am I an odd duck? What can I tell you? You got it? That's important. Because if you don't understand, back to John, to the Gospel of John, chapter 1. Our Lord Jesus Christ, I'm going to build it if I can. Remember now, he came unto his own, verse 11, his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he the right, that gave he the power, the right, the dynamite, etc., to become the sons, the children of God, even to them that believe in his name. Sliding down. Verse 14, the Word became flesh, was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. God the Father sent God the Son in the person, perfect humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ, to demonstrate grace and truth. Verse 17, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Verse 18, no man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom, the inwards, the inside of the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. He hath declared to bring out, to expose. The Lord Jesus Christ, his ministry is to expose in his perfect humanity God. That's what you're designed for. That's what God made you for. So when God looks, God, here's a human. God is invisible. Look over in John chapter 5 on your way back. John chapter 5. And picking up, if I may, our Lord's going to say it over and over, pick it up though. Chapter 5, verse 37. And the Father himself, said the Lord, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. You have neither heard his voice, nor at any time, nor seen his shape. God is the invisible, infinite God. Infinite, there is nothing outside of God. There is no outside. Everything's inside. There is nothing beyond God. He's the beginning and end. One awesome being, and the universes and the galaxies are just a little minute expression of his magnificent person. No one has seen God. Ah, how can we ever enjoy you? God made us so that we could, God would do something wonderful to take, if you didn't understand this a little bit. Do you understand? If you and I were able biologists or zoologists or something, and we had little bugs, you could take, people have said it, take the littlest bug you can't even see, a little bug like that, and they magnify the bug. And the colors are phenomenal. The colors of the bug. You can't even see them until you magnify it. And brilliant colors. Brilliant equipment. God, you took time to make a snowflake, which are all different. Now, God, you must have something better to do to make snowflakes, don't you? Oh, no, I just want you to know. I just do it like that. I made you to enjoy a specialness about who I am. And you cannot enjoy, you cannot understand apart from me. And you have to understand, I did that so that I take the littlest bug and then I took you, just a little old critter made of flesh and blood, body, soul, and spirit. And I made it so that I would have designed, the sin came along and loused it up. But I died on the cross to redeem, to restore, to make all of that work again. I have a whole new body, a whole new realm for it to work. And I'm going to do it by way of my Son, who's the perfect man, before anyone, angels were created. God the Son, loved the term the Son of Man. It was his favorite term on earth. The Son of Man. The Son of Man. The man, Christ Jesus. Ah, yes. That's you. Humans. That's right. And God is going to do that forever. A resurrected Christ, the Lamb of God, slain before the foundation of the world, God is going to go and demonstrate forever. He becomes the light. There is no sun, moon, stars. He takes over. He's everything. The Lamb of God, the light of the world. Wow. It's all about God. You and me and God and humans. Wow. Now, so no one's seen God. Back over now. Chapter 15. No, we aren't that fast. I'm moving fast, but not that fast. John chapter 14. Now, Another of the same kind, not of a different kind. So therefore, God, I'm going to read, if I can, verse 16. I will pray the Father, and he will give you another, only this isn't another of a different kind, like in Galatians 1:6. This is like another in Galatians 1:7. Of the same kind. God the Father, God the Son, God the Son is going, and God the Holy Spirit, the same God, same everything. I'm going to replace myself with myself. I'm going to replace myself with myself. It's the way we've arranged it. Father, Son, Holy Ghost. We arranged it. All of us, the three of us. Three of us are one. And we did it. Wow, that's right. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another of the same kind, God. That's wonderful. God, how are you going to help us? I'm going to replace myself with myself. Now, how's that? How can you do better than that? Wow, you can't. Wow, that's wonderful. That's right. God, you're going to replace yourself with yourself of the same kind. And we're going to look to you, God. And we're going to go and understand that you are going to do a most awesome thing. And you're going to be another comforter. That's right. I'm going to be the same kind. I'm going to come along. Our Lord Jesus Christ, we can't do it now, is the comforter. God the Father, you're the comforter. God the Spirit of God, You're the comforter. That's right. I'm going to replace perfectly. Perfectly. Completely. I'm going to do the same thing my Father did in you, in, by the way, the Son, and now I'm going to do the same thing in you by way of the Spirit of God that I did in my Son. I'm going to put you and give you the privilege of knowing and having the life, resurrected life, which is the only testimony I'm giving to the world at the moment, the empty tomb. I'm going to show my wonderful life in you. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do it. Same kind, same life the Lord Jesus had. I'm going to do it for you. Wow. God, that's what you've done. There's no question about that. Now, so God, you're going to honor your word, and we shared together that no flesh is going to be able to glory in your presence. And we understand, I will pray the Father and give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Well, now, God, that means that, God, you're going to provide a wonderful, wonderful solution for our need. You know our need. I do. I understand. No flesh shall glory in my presence. It isn't flesh that's going to get anything. God in Christ is going to get it. He is the one that gets all the glory. No one else can have it. Just think of Isaiah and that. No one else can have it. I will not give it to anybody except my Son. Only my Son. And you're in my Son. My Son is in you. And I'm going to go and do something awesomely wonderful. I'm going to go and demonstrate. No man has seen God at any time. They did see my Son and crucified him. He's risen. I'm going to show him in you. So that people will say, what makes your life different? God, what? God in you. And we shared that 1,000 times and have to share it again and again until it sinks in. What? God. Paul, what are you going to say? They all got excited. Aren't you the persecutor of the Jews, the killer of Christians? Yes. But I received the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. And now the people that were afraid of me, they say of a truth, Galatians 1:24, God is in you. God in you. Do people say that about you? God is in you. God is in you. That's a person. We share that on Wednesday and all that. Wonderful, wonderful thing to understand what it's all about, God. Yeah, it's about you. It's a personal thing. No one wants it personal. No one wants a personal God because a personal God demands the whole ball of wax. He's the only God and the only Savior. We don't like a personal God like that. We don't mind a lot of gods and a little bit of religion and flexibility, but we don't want to have God and His Word, period. That's not acceptable to us, and it isn't. That's why the church has gone the way it's going. Now, therefore, in the light of that, now, in the light, John, if I can, over to John. And remember now, all of it, you don't have to turn there. Our Lord, we'll turn there. Why not? Hold your finger right where you are. Wherever you are, stay there. Maybe. Over, if you would, please, to Matthew chapter 12. All kinds of ways. I'm just going to do it one. Matthew chapter 12. God, what do you want? You want us to obey? Right. That means honor my will and my word and my work. That's right. And we desire to do so. That's love. That's love in action. Uh-huh. And Matthew chapter 12, sliding over to the end, verse 50. Lord, what did you say? Behold, my mother and my brethren, they said. Verse 50, the response. The Lord said, for whosoever shall do the will of my Father, which is in heaven, the same is my brother, sister, and mother. It didn't talk about love. No. I'm telling you what you have to do. I'm looking for people to honor me. And they are those that love me. The rest of it, yeah, we like it loose, so you play and do whatever. How are you ever going to develop? God has a masterful, awesome plan for each human being. But, God, it isn't that you didn't do it. No. So now, therefore, God, it's about your will. We want to test your will, know your will, honor your will. That's what you're looking for. And the will, those that do the will of God abide forever. So we're counting on it. We're counting on it. Now, over to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. And in the process, you remember in the upper room again, all of this is building from chapter 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. All of it builds. We're just going back and forth a little bit to pick up the pieces that connect. John chapter 15, may I go to verse 4. Abide in me, and I in you. The branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except you abide in me. You cannot, the branch cannot have leaves and cannot have fruit apart from a connection to the vine. It has to be connected, rightly connected. That's all. All it does is have a good connection. I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Now, how much can we do without the vine? How much can the branch do? Nothing. It's just a dead branch, a dead branch, a dead branch. That's all it is. It's dead. It can't do anything. But if I'm gonna read, I'm gonna study, I'm gonna go to school, and all of those things are well and good in their right place. And then I'm gonna be. No, that's where you're wrong. You're not gonna be. You think you're gonna be. We just shared that with the church back in the Sunday school. You know, the whole system is so off base. We don't even know how God's order and how the offices work. The whole thing is so, and then we're looking for the system, what? To God take the system. We're asking him to take that which is wrong and do something wonderful. That's why you don't see very many wonderful things. And we want the believers to grow, the young people. That's what I want to see you grow, develop, take a place. We're going to all disappear. If the Lord tarries, you're going to be it. Wow. What a responsibility. Now, so here, John chapter 15, without me, you can do absolutely nothing. Nothing means nothing. Now, if you're looking at a great painter, Van Gogh or somebody else, anyone, Michelangelo and all of the different ones that did whatever, and a painter, and you can't. Now, could I? They could go and make the statue of David? Wow. Wow. Well, I take a piece of stone and nothing. They could take you something and make it beautiful. Wow. And you could go from there. You could go and a music conductor could take the music and he has a piece of music and he knows just what to do and he makes those little black things up there. See that? You can't see them. Little black things, and I don't know what they are. They are all little blacks with little flags on them. And what can I tell you? And there they are. Wow. I don't know what you do with them. But you know, the music conductor, he sees them, and he can take them, and wow, does he make it work. Now, so that's awesome. That's right. And now you want to go a little further. And here's the music conductor, and here's the painter, etc. And here's the doctor. The doctor has wisdom, surgery, there's all those different things. And they do surgery, and they go in. I don't know how they do it. I don't know. They have to disrupt your nice packaging. They disrupt the packaging and make it all the tubes. You people that are nurses, do they ever put you back together exactly like you took you apart? It's like having a box shipped to you in mail. Have you got a box? Have you got a package in the mail? You can't even open the thing. And when you open it, and it says, use this package to return. What you took out, you can never get back in. You don't know how they put it in there in the first place. You know, how did you guys ever do this? Wow. So God, here we are looking, and God, you're going to go and do an awesome thing. That's right. You're going to go and make possible the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we aren't the painter, we aren't Michelangelo, we aren't the painter, we aren't the doctor to be able to do the surgery and cut and just move everything just right and do just what you're supposed to do. Wow! Wow. Now, to be the painter, if I said, be the painter, be the conductor, be the surgeon, I could give you the whole knife and kit, everything. I tried to get that from the doctor the other day. I said, listen, I have an old kit, surgical kit, and I said, it's getting dull, and I would like to get a new, updated, fresh, sharp one. And he looked at me and said, you aren't going to get one from me. Wow. Now, see if I like that doctor. Wow. But what good's it? What good's it? I'm not the doctor. I'm not the conductor. I'm not the painter. I'm not Michelangelo. Neither are you. You can't be. God says, I want you to be as my son. All right? You believers, stand up. No, I'm just saying. Be the son. Stand up and be the son. Be the son. You can't be the son. Aren't you saved? Yes, but you can't be the son. No, you can't. No, you can't. You can only be the son if God makes it happen. Illustration. The little gloves. Here's the gloves. And the gloves are very nice. And they're two hands. And they're very cooperative and wonderful. Now, and I tell the hand, I want you to go and touch my ear. But it can't touch my ear. It can't do that. Now, if you were a glove in the glove world, they can do whatever. But when I ask it to be a glove to serve me, it can't serve me. It can serve other gloves, and I was going to bring a pile of gloves out, and they'd all fit together. They don't mind. They're all gloves. They're happy gloves, happy camper gloves. Understand? But that's what they are, and they can't serve me. And the glove said, "What? The flesh." The flesh says, all right, I'm going to serve you. I said, no, you can't. You can't do it. Without me, you can do nothing. You can't do it. But this glove over here, here this glove is, and now this glove says, I can't do it, but I understand you told me that if I receive you as my Savior, that you would cause me to be a child, and that you'd give me grace, John 1:16, you'd give me grace in place of grace in place of grace. You'd give me all that I need, all about you. You'd give me the Lord Jesus. You said it to me, and that without you I can't do anything. And so therefore, God, I receive you as my Savior to be saved, sanctified, in order to serve you in your good will. Now, God, This one isn't going to do it, but this guy does, and this guy goes and receives me, my hand. In goes my hand. This glove is glovey, fleshly. This glove realizes that I have to do it. And when this glove yielded to me, this glove became mine. And it isn't the glove that can do it. It's my hand in the glove that can do it. It's God in you that can do it, not you. It's not you. It's God in you. That's what makes it work. And a lot of people are trying to just be this in church. They sing, they preach, talk about everything, but it isn't real. And it can't go anywhere. It never goes anywhere. And we don't want it. We don't care. It never has to get past the ceiling, as far as we're concerned. You mean to get involved with God in an awesome way? Wow. We don't want to have to do that. Now remember now, when you're thinking about all these things, I hope you understand, God's word, God's will, God's work, the wonder of God's wonderful person in the hand. God, here you are, God. It's an awesome thing to have God in you. Paul said, they said of Paul, God is in you of a truth. Wow, that's right. Wow, that's an awesome thing. Now, so God, here we are looking. Now, and be encouraged, understand. Is this new? No. Do you remember Moses? None of you are old enough. Moses said, I can't. Actually, he was able to be a Pharaoh. If Pharaoh died, he could have sat on the throne. He was trained to be the Pharaoh. When God took him on the burning bush there, etc., Moses said, I want you to be my spokesman. And God said, I can't speak. I can't write. You bet you can write and speak. If anyone can speak and write languages, you do. You've been trained. Wow. And Moses said, I can't. God said, Exodus 4, I will be with your mouth. I will be your mouth. That's what I'll be. I'll do it. Now, and God, you did that. And then there's Samson, you know. Samson, wow, Samson's there. Samson, do you think Samson had, do you think he was a, I say Charles Atlas. I don't even know who that is. You don't know Charles Atlas. Anyway, a big bonks or whatever. That's what you think Samson was? No, Samson's just an ordinary gentleman like you, me. But God, when God moved and the Spirit of God took over in his life, he killed 1,000 Philistines with the jawbone of an ass. When God took over in his life when he was about to die, in the temple of Dagon, he asked God to do one last thing. And he raised his hands and pulled down the columns that held the temple. And more died in that moment than in all of his life. God did it. God did it. Yeah. Samson, David. Here's King Saul. Now, what made David? God used King Saul, and the Spirit of God moved, back in the Old Testament, moved and went to David. And David, what'd you say? I filled David with my Spirit. Now, David, why could you do what you do? A lion, a bear, a Goliath? Who cares? What can't you do? I can do all things what? Through Christ that strengthens me. Well, can you or can't you? It isn't you. It's God. That's what you're supposed to do. So now, God, here we are looking in your marvelous grace and kindness. And we look at our Lord. And we look at our Lord. Where you're here, John chapter 5. You know what? I could do... Here, I turn chapter 8, John chapter 8. John chapter 8, verse 28. I'm going to give you about our Lord. He's the perfect man. And he wants you, he wants to be the perfect God in your life to reflect and represent him perfect. Well, God, as my Father sent me, John 17, so send I you. Well, God, here we are. And what did you do, Lord? What did you do? The works that you do, shall we do also? Uh-huh, whatsoever you ask. Well, verse 28, chapter 8, John, verse 28. Then said Jesus unto them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then, when you crucified him, then you shall know that I am he, a resurrection, that I do nothing of myself, but as the Father hath taught me, I speak these things, and he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. I do them. I don't. I love him. That's how do you, how do you know he loved the Lord? By what I do. I honor the Father. How do I know I love God? How do we know we love God? Because we honor God's word. That's what we do. That's how you know. Wow, easy. And now God, here we are looking, and you're the perfect man, and without nothing. And moving it further over to Paul, chapter 12, 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, if I can, in chapter 12. Picking up in thought, if I can get there, chapter 12. And over in, you'll see it. Paul, they're giving you a whole lot of flack, aren't they, Paul? Paul says, well, who do you think you are, Paul, to tell that? Well, aren't we somebody? Aren't we good people? Aren't we caring? And Paul says, hold it. Let me get the argument. Let's get this clear. I am where I am, said Paul, because God did it. So if you want to argue, talk to God. Now, therefore, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, sliding down to verse 11. I am become a fool in glorying. You have compelled me, for I ought to have been commended of you. You should have been encouraged, commended you. For in nothing am I behind the very chiefest apostles, Peter, James, and John, though I be nothing. Nothing. Lord, how much can you do? John 5, 19, etc. I do nothing of myself. It isn't about a glove. Here's his humanity. It's his humanity finding his deity. And what couldn't he do? Whatsoever you ask in my name, I will do it. It's the way it is. You have to want that. You don't want to get tied up and I want this, I want that. And how are you going to grow? How are you going to grow and develop? I hate seeing young people drift off and lose. They're never going to grow. They've got to be in the atmosphere that makes you grow, that wants you to grow, to become. Wow. So God, here we are looking in your wonderful way, in your wonderful word. And God, thank you, thank you, thank you very, very much. So now, God, looking to you, and we need to go and seek you with all our heart. And we aren't far away. Over to Hebrews. I'm just trying to emphasize for myself. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. God, what are you telling me? Well, I want you to know in this great catalog of believers, verse chapter 11 of Hebrews, verse 6, I want you to know what made them great. Verse 6, but without faith, without the body of truth to be believed, without faith in the body of truth that is to be believed, it is impossible to please him. Impossible. It is impossible for you to do what I ask you to do. Whatsoever you ask in my name, you can't do it apart from me. I'm asking you to have a life, and you want a bug or a camel with instinct. You are a human. And if you don't allow me to be in you, you'll never, never, never have what I intended you to have. I am your instinct. I am everything you need. I, the Creator. And you lose out. Wow. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. Remember our Lord, we just read it in John 8 and 28, 29. I please him always. For he that is cometh to God must believe that he is. He is God. That's right. The invisible, infinite God. We know him as our personal Savior. That's right. And that he is a rewarder, a payer in full of them that diligently seek him, that are diligently seeking him. Seeking to seek after, like the lion goes after the leopard, the dog hunts the fox. Wow. Hunting. Pursuing. I'm in pursuit. Therefore, verse 6, he is a rewarder of them that are in pursuit of him. They want to know God. That's all I want to know. And it will say, well, I'm down that end of the aisle, make-believe, down that end of the aisle, and I want to know God. So you come down, a few feet, and then you stop. But you didn't keep coming. Someone else says, I want to know God. And you come a little further, and you stop. But you never get here. Do you understand? God said, you got to seek me. And you'll what? And you'll what? Find me. That's what. I want you to come all the way. I'll know. I'll know that you're thirsting and coming when I see you get here. I'll know that. Otherwise, that's what I knew about. That's why Abraham was so marvelous. He hadn't even done anything yet, as it were. And Abraham said, I already know God. Abraham will keep his children and make them come all that way. Isaac, Jacob, make his children walk that line. I know that before he even did anything. Wow. So God, here we are looking to you. And you're a rewarder of them that diligently seek you. So now, God, here we are. In closing, over if you would, we have to close. I didn't get very far. I sort of wandered. But I hope you got a little bit. It's an awesome thing. It really is. And what he's saying in the upper room, I'm going to give you the Spirit of God. Do you understand? The Spirit of God is all of me. I'm going to give you all of me. Just like that. For you. Right now. All of me. For you. Whoever believes that? You won't hear that in the pew or the pulpit, unfortunately. No, you don't. Not the reality of it. Our whole world would be different. The churches would be, everything would be different. No, we don't. No. 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 Well, therefore, over if you would please, to, in closing, over to Philippians right next door here. And you know it. God, you do what you do in a most awesome way. And you know, with Ephesians, you aren't reading it, but Ephesians chapter 3 and in verse 20, you know, I'm able to do exceeding abundant above all that you ask or think or feel or could imagine in any way, shape, or form. Remember the word ask in Ephesians 3:20? That's the same verb in John chapter 14, 13 to 14. If you ask anything in my name, I'm able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you can ask or think. No, that's not true. Now, we're churchgoers. Churchgoers don't believe that. No, we ought to be Christian, Christ-centered, and we do believe it. And we do know it. Philippians 2, the end of the verse. But now, much more in my absence, in my absence. Philippians 2:12. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You do it. You work it out. You work it out. That's right. Don't love it out. Work it out. Work it out. I told you what I wanted. Do it. Do what I told you to do. You want to know, what are you looking for, God? I'm looking for someone that'll let me do it. I'm looking for someone that'll give me their glove and let me put my hand in it. That's what I'm looking for. Have I found anybody? No, we got lots of gloves. But God said, my hands are there. Wow. Therefore, verse 13, as you know, it is God which worketh in you. Without me you can do nothing, said our Lord. It is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. God, it's a marvelous thing that you do. An awesome thing. A wondrous thing. And in the upper room you're trying to spell it out so that these dear men are able to get out, and they do go out and do wondrous things. Because you prepared them. And you know it didn't become real until Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost, when the Spirit of God made it all happen. Just like that. Wow. And we're the beneficiary. Here we are. God. Wow. Our Father in God, we thank you for your word, your work. Spirit of God, yeah, God. Honor just honor our Lord. That's the only way. God, you aren't interested in honoring yourself. Nope. You're interested in honoring the Son. Why? Because the Son honors you, our Heavenly Father. And when you, our Heavenly Father, are honored, then all of your marvelous essence and nature and being are honored. And Spirit of God, you are honored. So thank you very much for caring and the word, and we just bumble along through it. God, it's so marvelously, marvelously simple and awesomely real. But we just, God, help us. Help us. And we'll thank you in your grace, for your grace, in your grace, by your grace. We'll thank you. So deal with us. Thank you very much. Thank you for caring. Thank you for caring, God. Without you, where would we be? We'd be like we aren't a sheep or a duck, God. We're a human made in your image and likeness to know and honor you in a most awesome way. God, thank you. In Christ's name, amen.